Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the gaming reporter from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Rick Velotta, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program one of my good friends here over many years, Rick Velotta. He is a reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, deals with tourism and transportation. Pleasure to have you back, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's talk about all the stuff going on. First of all,
Josh, where do we start?
Lucky Dragon. I hit the Lucky Dragon first night coming into town, and what a great property. It is gorgeous. The food there, unbelievable. And no, they are not paying me to say that.
Yes, it is a beautiful property, and I think that one of the things that a lot of folks were, you know, they weren't sure what they were going to see when you had the promotional items coming out saying we're going to be Chinese first. And certainly they've gone that direction all the way. All the signage is in Chinese. There is English translation there, so no worries on that. But then that centerpiece dragon chandelier is absolutely spectacular.
Stunning. And the food is exquisite.
They
made the point that their dim sum is prepared fresh. It's not been sitting out back for an hour and getting reheated.
Yeah, and they have quite a bit of variety in terms of the whether you want formal dining or whether you just want quick eats, because they've got what amounts to is a Chinese street vendor location there where you can get a lot of little things that you would be able to pick up on some of the streets and some of the smaller Chinese towns. So I've gone over there for a snack a few times. Even though I'm not a big Chinese food fan, the quality is just fantastic, and it really is something to try.
Resorts World, finally, looks like they're going to see cranes in the sky.
That's what the plan is. The company has been around for quite some time, and I think that here in Las Vegas, it's pretty much been a, you know, we'll believe it when we see it type of an attitude. However, I think that because of the fact that they've hired a new president and he's on board, he's on site, he's actually putting his team together. I went over to their headquarters and had a look-see around, and they've got a lot of artwork on the walls that depict what the building is going to look like. And the indication is that by fall we're going to be seeing some of these cranes in the ground, and I'm sure that's what's going to happen.
And they're using part of what was Echelon as the basis to move forward. They're not knocking that down.
Right. And I think that people who drive past it may see some of that, and it still kind of looks a little rough in terms of what it looks like from the street. But as you pointed out, that's going to be kind of the base. They've already got a big parking structure in place to accommodate the more than 1,000 construction workers who are going to be on the scene. So I think they're ready to go. Part of the problem that they've had over the last couple of years has been a devaluation of the currency from Malaysia, where the company is based. And then once they saw some of that get back to levels that they were comfortable with, then it became a problem of getting the equipment on site, because there are construction booms going on in other locations as well. So they were having a difficult time actually getting some of the big cranes that they needed to make this project happen.
I was talking to Grant Govetson about what they do in Singapore at Genting, and they do about half the EBITDA that Las Vegas Sands does. But he was joking and saying, but that's still a lot of money. This is a very successful company. Their property in New York and Queens is phenomenal, right?
It is. And I've been to the property at Sentosa Island in Singapore. I think part of the reason for the big difference between Sands and Genting in that particular market is that I think, as we all know, Sands is expert at developing high-end retail around some of their property, convention facilities around the property, entertainment. Meanwhile, Genting went the route of partnering with a theme park. Now, there's nothing wrong with theme parks, and
it was Universal Studios, right?
Yeah, and there are going to be families that are there and a lot of people, but it just doesn't bring the same level of revenue that Sands can bring to their property. And the difference between the architecture is stunning. The Sands property is iconic. It's beautiful. It's got a park on top of like a 52-story building.
It's three towers, right?
Three towers. And yeah. The park spans that entire area. Sentosa, or where the area where the Genting property is a little bit more subdued, and it's kind of like in a jungle-type area. So a lot of vegetation. It's really beautiful over there. But it also is kind of off the beaten trail compared with Marina Bay Sands.
I said, and I think I probably discussed this with you in one of your previous appearances, that Steve Wynn would not be able to sit still and not do anything and have this amazing property that's going to start out with 3,000 rooms, may end up with 7,000 rooms right across the street. And of course, now we have the new development. Describe it for us, if you will.
You're talking about the Paradise Park here,
yes,
in Las Vegas. The thing about this is it's more of an amenity to Wynn Las Vegas and Encore, because what it is like a 38-acre lagoon that will be able to accommodate water sports, and it'll have white sand beaches around the periphery and a boardwalk. And then all this will be connected to some new convention facilities. You're finding that a lot of the larger local companies are beefing up their convention amenities. You're seeing MGM do that, and now you're seeing Wynn do that as well. But there also will be some new rooms, a tower not quite at the same level as the Encore and the at the Wynn, but there'll still be quite a bit there. And you know, there are lots of stories going around. Steve Wynn hasn't really confirmed any of them about what kind of a setting it's going to look like. There's some discussions about there being fireworks over this lagoon every night. There's talk about maybe having an island in the middle of this lagoon at which where people will be able to zip line back and forth to the mainland. So it's all pretty exciting, but it's all still pretty tentative in terms of what we're going to see. The thing is that it's supposed to actually start work on it by the end of the year.
And, you know, I mean, why would they give the details out when Genting is building across the street and could steal ideas? I mean, this is a smart move, I think, from Mr. Wynn. Let's take a break. More with Rick Bellotto when we come back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Rick Villada. He is a reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, covers tourism and transportation. You know, an interesting one to talk about is the purchase of SLS by the Morello Group out of Reno. And actually, they're out of Los Angeles, I should really say. They own 35 companies. They own five construction companies. They bought the Grand Sierra Resort in Reno, which was originally the MGM. And they had the financial wherewithal to put the money in to do what needed to be done, which was to rebirth that property. And it is now a beautiful property, 5,000-seat showroom for entertainment, $15 million nightclub. And they are not to be messed with. They also have a lot of radio station groups in Southern California that will help with the marketing of the SLS. I think that Las Vegas is going to be surprised at how resourceful this company is.
Well, I agree with you, Sam. I think that a lot of people don't know too much about them, although those who travel regularly to Reno will recognize the Grand Sierra as a landmark that has certainly improved over its recent history. I think that the fact that this company is so diverse, and as you pointed out, there's a lot of media outlets there, that's going to help them quite a bit. I think that the position of the SLS right now is actually in a pretty good place, kind of on the north end of the strip. There's going to be a lot of movement down there with Resorts World going in, with the Wynn Paradise Park plan going in. And then, of course, the Stratosphere recently was acquired. So there's a lot of
Golden.
Things happening there.
Yeah, Golden picked that up. And, you know, and what is that going to mean for Golden Entertainment to be now the owner of the Stratosphere? That property, although it's an iconic property, could still use a lot of love.
Sure. Just backing up a step on the SLS property, we're all trying to guess what the new name of the place is going to be. And, you know, one of the things I thought of is, wouldn't it be cool if they went with Grand Sahara? Because it is on Sahara Avenue. It used to be the Sahara Hotel property. I think that would be kind of neat. But you know, I'm not an expert at marketing or development of that kind.
I'll play off of that and say I think Sierra Grand would be a good name.
Sure.
Oh, Sahara Grand.
Sahara Grand, yeah.
No, I think that's a good idea. But, you know, these guys have got money. They are a huge Hispanic investment firm as one of their portions. And like I say, what they've done in the last few years in Reno has just been stunning. My understanding is, and I do not have this on the record, but that they were trying to buy the Rio and that did not work out. It'll be interesting now with the Caesars bankruptcy coming to an end, whether they do in fact divest themselves of the Rio. And certainly the properties in Reno and Lake Tahoe have been on the market for a while. They're just asking for too much money.
Yeah. And the other interesting aspect that you pointed out, Sam, is the strong Hispanic influence. The Morello Group is certainly very capable to marketing to that segment. How they do that and where they do that, I mean, I'm envisioning a possible opportunity to go into Mexico and Central America to attract visitors to this basically what's going to be a new property. And of course, I think Reno benefits from that as well, because they're going to cross market between Grand Sierra as well, I would think. So,
and that's a 2,000 room property in Reno. So, I mean, it's not like they're not used to having a large property, B, a property that needs to fill rooms and the various businesses during the week. Because Reno is definitely a big weekend town, more so than being a weekday town, although it is a huge convention property as well. But also knowing how to deal with the locals.
Well, and you'd be surprised how many people that live in Mexico like to ski. I mean, it's one of those things that that's basically an international sport. And certainly the resorts in the Lake Tahoe area have a great deal of appeal to all our international guests, and I would think that that would be a coup for them to tie in with that.
And, you know, Volaris does fly direct flights from Mexico into Reno at this point, so that is good news there. But, you know, what's also interesting, if you look just from a slightly different angle, I listen to Z100 out of New York, which is one of the top top 40 stations there. You'd be amazed at how many songs now are in Spanish and English.
Yes.
And some in just Spanish purely that are playing, you know, in the top 40 markets. So, you know, there's no reason why you're not attracting everybody, not necessarily just a Hispanic market, but just everybody to that property.
Well, and knock on wood that the current administration doesn't step in and do too many things with our immigration policies so that that it scares some of the people who are just visiting away. But, you know, that's a battle that's going on as well. And I know that the Reno Convention Authority and also the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority are trying to lobby to make sure that the people that come from overseas and just internationally are treated with respect and are treated in a way that they want to keep coming back. Because that's really important to our economy.
To say the least. Let's take a break. More with Rick Velotta when we come back.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Rick Velotta. He's a reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, covers tourism and transportation. So right now, as we're taping this, the Electric Daisy Carnival is going on, the EDM Festival. Three nights, and the weather's going to be in the 80s, having been in the mid 105, 107 degree category here. 400,000 people are supposed to attend this thing, and it's turned into a week-long event for all the properties.
Now you're going to go out there, right, Sam?
I'm heading out of town on Friday morning.
Well, you and many other people who want to escape at the time when this goes on, and that's kind of giving it a bad light, but in all honesty, I think that when people first heard about Electric Daisy Carnival coming to the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, there was a little bit of trepidation. There was a little bit of, you know, they were just a little bit of nervous. There were some folks that were dwelling on the illegal drug use, things like that. But actually, this has turned into something that has been spectacular for Las Vegas in terms of an economic boost in a time of year when we kind of needed it. And a lot of these people who attend this electric music festival do have a lot of money to spend. I don't know whether it comes from their parents or whether they have it independently, but gosh, the thing sells out almost immediately. As soon as the tickets go on sale, it's sold out. And when you talk of 400,000 people coming – It's a pretty spectacular boost to the economy. I think the one thing that people are a little bit hesitant to get excited about is the traffic that it brings, because the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, as most of you know, is north of town. There's basically one way in from town, unless you have the ability to go through Nellis Air Force Base, which incidentally, the some of the local transportation companies have actually entered into agreements with Nellis so that they can use it temporarily to alleviate some of the traffic on Las Vegas Boulevard and Interstate 15.
And they started that with NASCAR, right?
They did, but I think that the fact that Electric Daisy Carnival is a part of that as well, and now this year they've set up some park and ride arrangements. One of them is about a half mile from my house, so I'm looking forward to that traffic. And usually the traffic patterns are such that it's morning rush hour that's a problem.
Because they're coming home from it.
Exactly. It goes from dusk to dawn. And that last night, it's basically a Sunday night. That means that Monday they're on I-15, and I-15 becomes a parking lot from about 6 in the morning until maybe 10.
What was interesting to me in some of the reporting was that the hotels have to rearrange their room cleaning schedules and their room service schedules to accommodate people who are coming in at 7 a.m. as against coming in at 2 a.m.
Right, and they've have also made some modifications to their nightclubs. And they, you know, these resort people are pretty smart. They recognize that this is something that they can capitalize on if they do it right. And I think that that's one of the things that they've really gone out of their way to make Electric Daisy Carnival inviting. Some of the critics of it say that it's a money grab, because certainly the hotel room rates go up exponentially during that time. If you're just a casual tourist coming to Las Vegas in the middle of June, you're going to see yourself paying, you know, 3, 4, and 5 times as much as you would have on another weekend.
And we see the same thing with Hot August Nights in Reno have
sure.
done for many years, that a room that sells for $50 on Monday is selling for $300, you know, on that particular weekend. Well, we're pretty much out of time here for this, but I've got so many other things to talk about, so we need to get you back here soon. So Rick Velotta, always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. You're looking great, and we always appreciate you being on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
You can download podcasts of Nevada Newsmakers free of charge from iTunes. We'll see you on the next show.